This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Video games are a multi-billion dollar worldwide industry, and about half of the people who play games are women. But women make up only 14% of those who work in the game industry, and most games are marketed to men. A common theme in many games is also a man rushing off to save a woman in peril. A new Atlanta-based game is looking to flip that script. Prince Napped follows a strong female character on a quest to save a kidnapped prince. The game's produced by a mostly female team at Kerchunk Games in Norcross. Joining me now is Molly Proffitt, Chief Executive Officer for Kerchunk, and Leah Knighton, Chief Creative Officer. Hi to both of you.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
And also via Skype, we have Kate Edwards, formerly Executive Director of the International Game Developers Association, now runs her own company called Geography. Hi, Kate.
Hey. Hi there.
Hi. So, you know, Molly, a really common, argument in the debate over gender in games is that they design games for men with scantily clad women and et cetera, because women play Facebook games and not MMORPGs, massively multiplayer online roleplay games, or Call of Duty or PS4 games. What do you say to that?
Women play all games. And what's really interesting is that we see genres growing, the number of women growing in all genres across the board. While, you know, more women obviously play on smartphone, and that's something that really kind of women said, okay, I can play on smartphone. You know, this is a new platform. I'm welcome here. The reason that we haven't seen that on console is actually because of marketing trends that happened in the 80s. So we're seeing women, they do play all games, and we're seeing that number growing.
I wonder what you make of that, Kate, because I am a gamer. I have played games for a very long time, and MMORPGs, which are massively multiplayer online role-playing games, like World of Warcraft. But, you know, I play Heroes of the Storm and other games with my son. And when I think about why women aren't on many more of those games, for me personally, not backed by data, it's because I have to put up with a lot of misogyny and you know, other women characters who are not dressed all that thoroughly. Why, Kate, do you think women choose certain games over other games?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. I mean, obviously personal preference, but you know, there is a misnomer that a lot of people assume like women won't play first-person shooter games, which is completely untrue. I mean, many, many women I know play first-person shooters, and they love them, and they're very, very good at them. I myself love Halo. I worked on some of the Halo games, and I'm still obsessed with the game. It's one of my favorites. But a lot of times what it comes down to is the toxic communities that you find when you are playing some of these games. I mean, obviously, if you're playing a solo campaign, that's not really an issue. But if you want to partake in the multiplayer experience, you often have to deal with communities that are pretty toxic against women. I mean, as soon as you speak up on your microphone and they can tell that you're a woman, you often get all kinds of comments back at you that are pretty derogatory or just outright offensive. So a lot of women I know, they'll say, I play these games, but I keep my mic off. I even know some who change their gamer tag or they change their online name to make it not so overtly female so that they don't get harassed because of it.
Let me play this comment from Nina Freeman. She is a level designer at Fulbright Games. And here's, she also is a gamer and wouldn't think of doing anything else, but she echoes what you've just said, Kate.
I think sometimes it can seem overwhelmingly like scary to get involved as a woman in games because like bad things can happen. There's like sexism and like horrible challenges, but like it's still worth it and you can still do it. Like it's not all bad, you know, because like people are willing to speak out about this stuff. It helps make it a better environment. So like I said, it's all about that balance of acknowledging the issues while also promoting work by people who are marginalized.
So, Leah, where do you see your game, this one in particular, Prince Napped, fitting into this? I guess safe spaces for women. Do you see it as a safe space?
I definitely see it as a safe space because you're working with a female bounty hunter's character. So you yourself are the hero of the game. And there's no way that anyone can attack you on it because it's, you know, it's a game where you solve puzzles. It's a mobile game. So it's a very safe space, and it's humorous, and it's fun, and it's challenging.
So you're not interacting with other players, which is often the problem.
No, you're not interacting with other players. You can see your friend's scores, but there's not any, like, communication through talking.
So this, I want to play this other comment, Molly, from Nina Freeman, because it just resonated with me. She's talking about the fact that she's really tired of talking about this.
I actually feel like I end up having to do, like, more interviews about being a woman in games, and like when I'm trying to like get people to play my games, usually they just want to ask me about what it's like to be a woman in games. My gender is always going to be a part of it because that's who I am, but like that is actually one of the biggest challenges, is like kind of changing the conversation to be like, it's not only about my gender, like we can also like talk about my work critically.
And I wonder how you feel about that.
It's funny because we got interviewed by Refinery29 the other day, and that was the first interview I've had in 4 years where it was just asked about. I was just asked about design, like as my work as a level designer. I built every level in the game. Nobody asks about it. And she was like, yeah, I want to know how you built this thing. And I was like, really? You actually do? And that was incredible. And it was after 4 years. I mean, I've done tons of talks and writing. And I know our company, you know, our message is empower women as players. So we bring,
right.
We get a little bit of that as part of our mission. But the fact that no one ever asked about it was crazy to me.
Kate, do you get asked about just game design and not women in games?
No, not really. And part of it is because my function in the game industry, doing this culturalization work I've done for so long, focuses on a lot of these issues. I mean, purposely working with developers, helping them to avoid using stereotypes and of all kinds, and a lot of other sensitive political and cultural issues. Because I've been in a more overt advocacy role over the last several years, I tend to get asked these questions point blank and bluntly, because they know that I'm there to speak out about them, and I still am very vocal about these issues. So, but I do get occasionally, like I will get people who ask me like, hey, we'd love to have you come to an event and speak about your work, speak about culturalization. You don't need to talk about diversity. You don't need to talk about being a woman in games. You can just talk about what you do. And that's always the best case scenario, because nobody really wants to be called out for something that they can't control about themselves. We'd rather be called out for the skills that we have and the experience that we have. And so hopefully we're going to see more of that as a trend over time.
So, Leah, let me give both you and Molly the opportunity to talk about the game itself and, you know, how this game works as just an adventure game, right? I mean, it's called Princenapped, so I have to assume that, like Mario, it begins with the kidnapping of a member of the royalty.
Yes, actually, the princess, we did some little comics. They're not used in the game, but he gets kidnapped while taking bathroom selfies because he's very self-absorbed, and that's just his, like, personality type. But you're working with bounty hunters to try to save him, and it's through the animations, it's very humorous. Like, he's very annoyed, and he wants to just get out, and the bounty huntress is just trying to do her job, and it's pretty cute.
Molly, do you want to add on to that?
Yeah, we started from the perspective of looking at the puzzle genre and trying to see, you know, what all is out there. There's a lot of clones. There's a lot of match three. So we really wanted to innovate in that genre from a mechanic side. And then from the story side, we talked about, you know, what is the prince like usually in Disney movies and all these different kind of movies? And how do we embody the humor that we see in movies that we love? And then how do we treat the woman as someone who we can relate to? So for her, it was all about, she has confidence, but she's kind of getting interrupted by this thing that she's just got to go do. And yeah, then Leah worked that into the animation.
And what is she wearing?
She's wearing armor.
It's armor, yeah.
Real armor that actually covers.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a little feminine.
But she
has, like, she's not, like, overly feminine, especially in her facial features. The loosely based her off of a character named Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica is just very, like, no-nonsense.
Oh, I remember Starbuck.
Girl, yeah.
Well.
And,
smart Alec.
You smart Alec, but has a sense of humor. And that's kind of what I wanted to interpret in the character, especially through her animations, stuff like that.
All right. So, Kate, let me play you this clip from one of the games that's always often pointed to as having a strong female lead. It's getting another live-action rendition. This is Tomb Raider 3, which featured the iconic Lara Croft.
I have the access, the knowledge, the artifacts.
Yes, but you bumped into me in India and sent me to find them for you, bringing me here. Listen to this gibberish. Your perception of good timing is bad.
So, Kate, where do we put things like Lara Croft? And I say that because in some ways for women in gaming, she's a little bit problematic. She is strong. She is smart. She is a female lead. But at the same time, that comes with someone who's wearing Daisy Duke shorts and a tank top.
Well, one of the things I love about Lara Croft, and for full disclosure, I worked on Rise of the Tomb Raider, which was the latest Tomb Raider game that came out. So I did quite a bit of work on that. And I really love the fact, and I use Lara as an example in the talks that I give to show that they've taken this character who used to be the poster child of sexism in games with her overpronounced features and the Daisy Dukes and everything else, and now she's become a great example of a woman in games who's fully realized. She looks realistic now, but more than just her look, she has a realistic range of emotions and the things she thinks about and the way she approaches problems. You know, and a lot of that I do credit directly to the great writing of Rihanna Pratchett, who worked on the Tomb Raider reboots, and she really brought that character to life in a big way. And of course, now they've got the movie reboot that looks pretty much exactly like the rebooted games.
She's wearing pants. Pants. Yay for pants.
It's interesting, you even contrast the movie version. The movie version that's coming out contrasts that with the look of Angelina Jolie's version, which is pretty much copying the video game version. And so I see Lara as a really good sign. It's a good evolution of that character, and it's a good evolution of where we're heading in terms of representation of women in games.
All right, so then let's talk about another new game. This one has been pointed to as well as having a strong female lead. This is from a really popular game called The Last of Us, and the lead was a teenage girl who was fighting through a zombie apocalypse.
No, don't tell me it's busted.
It's busted.
Man, for a second I thought I was gonna play it.
You still can.
How?
All right, come here. Close your eyes. Do it.
Okay.
Use this to move. This is your punch, this is your kick, and you block with this.
So, Molly, what do you think of as a successful female lead? Does she need to be noticeably female, or should it just sort of the gender sort of like fade into the background?
Well, see, there's two ends of the spectrum, right? Like, if you make her noticeably female, she talks about her role as a woman and her identity, then you identify with some people who are looking for that. They're looking for a character that says, I represent women, I'm here to represent women. But from other ends of the spectrum, sometimes you want gender to fade into the background because you want her to feel more real and authentic as a character and as a person who doesn't talk about their gender all the time and it's not a thing. So I think there's room for both types of characters. There's characters that, just like there's room for both types of people, people that go out in the world and speak about gender identity and what that means to them, and people who exist and are just strong people in the world who build creative things, right? Like, I don't think all women who work in games need to talk about being women in games, but I'm okay with filling that role sometimes. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And Leah, let me ask you how much progress you think we've made. You know, I like, one of the games I like to play is the South Park games. And the first one, The Stick of Truth, you had no option but to play a male character. Right. And they turned that into a joke for the second one, where you could choose to be a female and all the characters say, wait, you were a girl the whole time, right? And I wonder if we are seeing these signs of movement when it comes to the gaming industry.
For sure. I think we are seeing progress, and we've got more female voices, women voices in the industry and through players. So I definitely think there is progress being made. And you can see that in even the big studios. You know, they're like with Lara Croft, she's evolving. She's turning into something that's strong and empowering. And I think that's great.
And so, Kate, what, I mean, we still can't get away from the statistics. I mean, we have a fraction of people who design games and build games are women. The vast majority of marketing money goes to market to men. So what is our next step? What needs to be done?
Well, I think what we're seeing in the industry now, and especially with the art form of games, is that the game development has become democratized to the point where it's almost as easy as going to an art supply store and buying canvas and brushes and paint and going home and just starting painting a picture because you want to do painting as a form of self-expression. Well, the tools to create games, many of them are free now, like Unity and Unreal and some of the others. They have free versions that you can download. There's a lot of education you can get through YouTube and other sources online. Obviously, I don't think that's quite as good as like actually getting an education and learning all the details about a certain field of game development. But people can get started, and we're seeing more and more people do this from all kinds of underrepresented groups. I mean, just yesterday, in fact, I came back from a Sami game jam. It was taking place up in the Arctic Circle in northern Finland, where there was a game jam, which is basically you put together a game within a few days, and involved the Sami people, the indigenous people up there. And the games involved the themes around the Sami culture. And so it was just a fantastic experience of being able to use games as a form of expression for those people who are grossly underrepresented in any media. And so I think the more we see that happen, the more opportunity is out there. You know, young women and girls who are interested in games, and there, you know, many or most are to some degree. All they need is that extra little nudge from their parents or teachers or others to say, "Look, you can actually do this." Yeah. And to me, that's one of the saddest things I often hear when I talk to students is if I talk about game development, and I'll often have, you know, like a young girl or someone come up to me and say, "I didn't realize I can do this."
Yeah.
It's like, well, of course you can.
That's Kate Edwards, former executive director for the International Game Developers Association. You also heard Molly Proffitt and Leah Knighton, CEO and CCO, respectively, of Atlanta-based Kerchunk Games. Their latest game is Prince Napped, and it is out now. Thanks to all three of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is On Second Thought.